This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Thought gas prices were about to go down? Well, Mississippi River flooding could have an effect on that.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The price of oil is trading at about $103 a barrel this morning. That's up $4 from last week. And gasoline futures have been on the rise as well. Oil traders seem to be taking their cue from what the Mississippi River's doing in Louisiana. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports from the Sustainability Desk.
The flooding has already wreaked havoc in Tennessee, Arkansas, and Mississippi. Louisiana is next, and that could mean trouble for U.S. oil refineries. Industry consultant Andy Lippow.
Between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, there are 11 refineries.
And they handle 13% of U.S. fuel production. Fears that flooding could curtail or even shut them down is pushing gasoline futures higher. Lippow says high waters may slow down river barges and tankers.
And that may result in a reduction of crude processing, although refinery shutdown is quite unlikely.
That's because levees appear strong enough to hold back the floodwaters. Analyst Bob Vandervolk says he's more worried about hurricane season.
And these hurricanes are anticipated to hit these refineries this year. It'll be an instant replay of Katrina and Rita.
Katrina shut down 10% of U.S. refinery capacity for several months. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
The long-anticipated bullet train that'll connect China's two most important cities had its first trial run today. The Shanghai to Beijing high-speed train is the latest addition to what is now the most expensive, I should say extensive, high-speed network in the world. But as Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, there have been some bumps along the way.
In just 8 years, China's become the bullet train capital of the world. President Obama's pointed to it as a model for high-speed rail. But lately, its squeaky clean image has been tarnished. China admitted the man in charge of its railway ministry was allegedly involved in embezzling millions from the Beijing-Shanghai project. John Scales is a transportation specialist at the World Bank in Beijing.
All indications from the government and also from our own dealings with the Ministry of Railways is that Chinese government has confirmed that the mid- and long-term development plan is still valid.
That plan is to have 8,000 miles of high-speed rail by the end of the year, and twice that by 2020. The train between Beijing and Shanghai will take less than 5 hours to cover a distance that's more or less equal to the distance between New York City and Chicago. It'll start running in June. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed right now. London shares have turned lower. The U.S. bought more goods than it sold in March, widening the nation's trade deficit to the highest level since June of last year. Bailed out insurance giant AIG and the federal government are going to sell 300 million shares of AIG stock to the public. That sale could raise more than $8.5 billion. Toyota today said it made much less money in the last 3 months, 77% less. Because of the earthquake, which has caused production problems and, of course, those recall issues, Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 75 points to close at 12,760.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
Alabama Governor Robert Bentley now says insured losses from the deadly tornadoes last month will top $2 billion. Those losses include all the homes damaged or destroyed by the storms, people who were rendered temporarily homeless. And perhaps in a twist of reality, some say the need for housing could actually help Alabama's slumping housing market. Larry Coward is a real estate expert and professor of accounting and finance at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB, and he's with us now to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. We're obviously not trying to find any kind of bright side to the devastation in Alabama. I saw it certainly firsthand in Tuscaloosa. But people are going to need housing, right?
There's over 5,000 houses destroyed in two counties, plus there's another 1,000 distributed over a much wider area. Here in Birmingham, there's sufficient supply to take care of all the people who were displaced.
What does this mean for the housing situation in Alabama?
Well, in Birmingham, there's about 10 to 12,000 houses on the market for sale right now. And at the current rate of sale, based on last month's sales, it would take 12 months for every one of those houses to be sold. Of course, now we're going to get to the bottom of the market a lot quicker than in other places. So for us, this will kind of start the absorption to get us back to a normal market.
Thousands of people, as you said, lost everything in those storms. Where's the money going to come from, Larry, to buy up these properties all over the state?
In the short run, there's going to be an inflow of cash to cover the insurance cost for those people who had insurance. The federal government, the state government, there's a lot of donations that are bringing things into the Birmingham area to try to help everybody out. The cost of this is going to be significant. The estimates right now are, you know, $2 to $5 billion, and going up every day. The long-term damage is going to be pretty significant.
Well, our thoughts, of course, are with the folks in Alabama and all throughout the South as they try and recover from these horrible storms. Larry Cowart, professor of real estate and finance at UAB, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Nice talking to you.
And finally, this morning, the cardigan sweater worn prominently by Jeff Bridges in the movie The Big Lebowski is up for auction this weekend in Beverly Hills at a Hollywood memorabilia auction. The opening bid for the dude's beige, orange, and brown zip-up knit sweater should be around $5,000, but will likely fetch a lot more than that. What's not up for bid is the rug that really tied the room together. Forgot what the dude's sweater looks like? We've got a picture of it at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.